Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 84.
This week on the podcast, the government's general absence of 22-year-old computer nerds is proving fatal to healthcare.gov.
And if you think worth it means losing the House of Representatives, then you might be Ted Cruz.
This month's jobs numbers are terrible, but luckily they're fake.
And in a second attempt to eat their own, the GOP takes on immigration reform.
The entire world turned into a giant real-life spy versus spy comic.
This week on Hillary Pillory, annoying rich people think they can decide the presidency with their money.
And we've got some important BTL Halloween advice for all you celebrators.
So stay tuned for all this and more. This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the internet.
Yes, all over.
All over.
Everywhere. Facebook.
Facebook,
Twitter.
Instagram even, although we never update the Instagram.
We gotta get back on the Instagram train.
But most importantly, you can find us at our website, which is just www.braintrustlive.com.
Couldn't be easier.
Could not be any easier.
No.
And this was a week where Congress wasn't in session, so if you're expecting a bunch of stories about Congress not agreeing to do things... You're out of luck.
But we still have stories about them not agreeing on things.
Well, as I said to Brent earlier,
they weren't active in their disagreement.
They still were talking this week.
Yes.
I don't know why they can't just go on vacation and then stop talking.
I know.
They don't do that.
Yeah. But the news this week, which has been sort of like the news really for the
simmering.
Last month, but everybody has sort of decided to care about it this week, is that healthcare.gov is still a giant flaming mess. It's not good.
It's not good at all.
At all.
We bought some time out of the whole government shutdown situation.
Yes.
Because if that shutdown hadn't happened, this is all we would have talked about for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, longer than that.
Longer than that.
The whole month, because it launched on October 1st.
Yes.
But for 16 days, we had to care about the government shutdown.
Right.
So
we didn't have a government to discuss this with.
We're going to talk about Ted Cruz later, regardless of what he says.
This didn't do many favors.
No, the shutdown was keeping everyone from caring about... The Obamacare website not working. The ACA website.
It also maybe was even keeping Obama from caring about it because he's recently finally sort of like...
Well, he had more important things to do.
Yeah, he had to open the government.
He had to open the government.
Time.
He had to remember that he was not supposed to cave.
Right. Oh, God. And that was hard.
That was keeping him up at all hours of the day
and night. He was having to check some other members of Congress. They were having to check him.
Yes.
A lot of checking going on.
Anyway. But we found out this week... Because, you know, there's been a big pile-on about this.
Yeah.
And it is bad. I mean, we're not going to sit here and pretend like it's just okay that
this is especially bad case. Because definitely any group of, like, 10, 22-year-olds could have figured this out with no problem.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah,
I mean... It's sort of... It not only is a problem just functionally, it's a problem just sort of symbolically because... It's like a problem with bureaucracy and government.
Yes, it just sort of like proves that the government sort
is
of
inefficient.
Like, you know, all of the talking points that the Republicans have been going with over Obamacare.
Right.
This sort of like the fact that this website doesn't work, which is only a part of it, is just sort of like proof that like the government shouldn't be doing this. So obviously they're running with it and rightly so. I would if I were them too. It's the only thing they have right now.
Exactly. Yeah, because once everyone's signed up, everyone's going to love it so much.
Right, exactly.
But they can't sign up currently because
you
can't figure out how to because healthcare.gov is a shit show.
There was a there was a really funny sketch on Saturday Night Live last night where Kate McKinnon or whatever her name is was playing Catherine Sebelius, and she was giving you ways to like troubleshoot the website, and she was like being like, "Restart your computer. We don't know why that works, but it does sometimes." And then like they had she was like, "And if it still doesn't work, then you can go to our low res website." And it was like this like just like this silly looking graphic things, and it said, "You want doctor?" question mark, and then you could click yes or no. And then she was like, "Or you can sign up in Icelandic." And so she like directed you to like the Icelandic language version of that.
It was without any problems.
Swimmingly. No, it's no problems on the Icelandic page.
Yeah.
So that's like, sort of like
your computer and blow on it.
Right. And then finally, like she couldn't get it to work, and she called tech support, and somebody with a bat came in and just like started beating on the computer, which sort of sounds like
what might be going
what's
on.
What's actually going on? Yeah.
Exactly.
So
they have a guy that they have now. Sort of brought on to troubleshoot all
Jeffrey
of this.
Jeffrey Zients?
Zients? He's got a crazy last name.
Oh,
there's
sure
no,
does.
There's no getting around that. He's been brought in on the website triage project.
Yes.
Which,
it's
are they just
want.
Like having lots of doctor puns, medical
probably.
Puns? Because, because they can.
Mm-hmm.
He said it would be functional by the end of November. This should be enough time so that they don't need to be delaying the mandate deadline. Because that is what everyone is suddenly everyone jumped to. Well, we got to delay the start of the mandate.
Have to.
It you It's March.
As long as you have to sign up by, like, March 31st, like, before tax time.
5 seconds to
like,
do it.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Just people are crazy. People are going crazy.
People are crazy. Yeah. Yeah. And Obama doesn't want to move the deadline. That would be, like, a big loss. Because everyone's going to sign up at the end,
right.
First of all.
And so, like, so to sort of, like, deadline, to confuse when the deadline is, to, like, push it after tax... Like, if you push it after tax time, then sort of... Then that it just could be any
exactly.
point at that. Like,
exactly.
I mean,
well, and they found that in Massachusetts, when they instituted this mandate, everyone signed up at the very last minute.
Yes.
So this is what they're expecting to have happen nationally. This is what I said would happen.
Yeah, when you're threatened with a fine.
Then suddenly you get your shit together.
Yeah, exactly.
And then also the, like, the media will start talking about it right before the deadline. Because they'll be all up in arms about it.
Yeah.
And then everyone will be all crazy. And then everyone will know there's a, you know, a penalty.
Right.
And then
well, it's like you said, you were working on...
Yeah. The victim's compensation fund.
Right, and you were trying to get people to sign up for it for months. And I was seeing your Facebook posts about it. And you were like, you have to sign up, you have to sign up. And you told me yourself that you signed up like 2 days before the deadline.
Exactly. That's
what
I
you
signed
do.
Up when finally when like tons of people started emailing me to ask me questions about signing up. I was like, oh, I should sign up.
Oh, should I have to do that now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should do that.
Yeah.
So in any case, I think as long as it's working by the end of November, they're sort of thinking they won't delay the mandate deadline.
Yeah. I don't think he's going
to
do it.
Here's
anyway.
To hoping they don't.
Yeah.
Because that's not. You have time. You still have like 5 months to do this.
Yeah.
So if you have not been able to get on to the computer and effectively find your local exchange or whatever you're up to.
If you go 5 months without being on the internet.
Right.
And somehow manage to not do this.
Then.
You deserve to pay the fine.
You deserve the penalty.
Yeah.
Exactly. Your public library has a computer that you can use tomorrow.
Correct.
To do this.
Yeah.
But they started to release some numbers about what the actual data is in terms of who's been signing up. And
we don't know what they mean, but we're going to tell them to you.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah, it's like various like numbers from the IRS, which is sort of...
Yeah, they've received 330,000 requests from federally run and state run exchanges, which are the requests to calculate the eligibility of people, sort of like what their income is and sort of like whether they're eligible for tax credits and things like that. So 330,000 of those. They've also responded to more than 1.3 million requests for income data.
Right, which you need to prove.
Right.
That's one of the big GOP wins on this.
Yes.
That you need like all sorts of proof.
That everyone now has to call the IRS.
Exactly.
And then
an agency that they don't approve of.
Right. And then the Social Security Administration has reported 4.2 million transactions with the Data Hub. Whatever that was, involving individuals or households who have established accounts on the exchanges. So that's, you know, I mean, it seems like a lot of people.
Here are some states that have the best participation rates. New York, California, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Big states, so they have more people to participate in these things.
Because,
but they're getting the most traction.
Because I've been hearing a lot about how great Kentucky is doing, too.
Yes.
Because
that's a smaller state. Oregon
is
doing great, but that's a smaller state as well.
Yeah.
But the big states that actually tried to put exchanges that were going to work into effect are seeing a lot of people
sign on
to them.
And it's interesting. And a lot of the Republican like talking points right now are saying that, A, it's only sick people who have signed up, which is fine by me.
Those people needed insurance.
Those people
needed
insurance.
You know who was paying for their health care before? That was us.
I know. They were excited to sign up.
Yeah.
And the other people who are signing up are the people who are eligible for like the Medicaid expansion because the states took that and because they're poor.
Yeah.
So... And the Republicans are like, well, those are the only people who signed up. And the response to that is like, well, the point of this bill was to get those people signed up. We wanted sick people to have insurance.
Right.
And we wanted poor people to have insurance.
So we got
that. So if those people are signing up, then, like, that's two out of the three groups that we want to have insurance, basically.
Yeah.
The other people are young, healthy people. And granted, those are going to be probably the hardest people to get signed
up. Those are the people that are going to do it at the last
minute. They're going to be the people who respond to having to pay a fee.
Yeah.
Duh. Yeah. This is not hard.
This is not hard. And this is, if anybody with a brain could have predicted it would happen this way.
Of course.
Because if I didn't have insurance right now, I would have been signing up on the first day.
Right. I know. This is a good time to have the website not be working because there's probably a lot of people who aren't trying to use it right now anyway. Like, just have it functioning by March, like, 29th.
Right.
We'll be fine.
Those young, healthy people will know how to use the internet, so they'll be able to sail right over to the website and figure it out.
Correct. Might even do it on their phone.
They might do it on their phones.
I don't know if you can.
Well, you could. You could do anything on your phone.
That's true.
Your phone is a little computer.
Yeah.
It's a tiny computer that's walking around in your pocket.
Yeah.
There are even some Democrats, though, that are like advocating for the deadline push, which is like,
Joe
super
Manchin
annoying.
Is just,
he needs to
come on.
Stop himself right now.
Ugh.
Just get over himself.
Yeah.
He wants to delay the mandate for a year sort of is joining with a bunch of GOP nutcases.
Yes. He's the only Democrat who is, like, joined with them. Like, yeah. Jean Shaheen, who's from New Hampshire, she's a Democrat. She sent a letter to the White House, and, like, 10 other Democrats signed it. Asking for an extension, basically.
But was an extension. They were asking for an extension of the deadline over these supposed issues with the website.
Right.
Manchin is just doesn't believe we're ready. He's just a guy who doesn't think we're ready. Yes. Just like the Republicans think.
Things have to be worked out.
Yes.
And he's also afraid that people are going to be paying too much money, which I don't know.
Is this happening in?
I don't know.
We've had several friends that have looked at the exchanges because they were paying too much money and have found it will be cheaper for them on the exchanges.
Correct.
Like, there is not a single person on earth who is signing onto the exchanges currently, unless that person currently has free employer-provided health care and is having to get their own health care, which is only happening if you also lose your job in this interim.
Yeah.
Like, there's no one on earth who is paying more money in the exchanges than they were paying for their own plan. That can't be a thing.
Right.
It's just, like, not... It's not a thing.
Nope.
It's not a thing. I just said it.
The Republicans are also trying to get Kathleen Sebelius fired or to get her to step down or to get Obama to make her resign
their
or whatever.
Opposition to her is like the one thing that ensures that she will be around forever.
It's a pipe dream.
Yeah.
They may as well be asking him to step down.
Right, yeah.
Because it's not going to happen. Because this is obviously, there's so many reasons why this is not going to happen.
Well, it's a symbolic win for them if it does happen. Like,
well,
it makes Obama
He's not going to be like, oh, yes, Republicans, like, you're right. I should, like, let her go. I mean, that's not going to happen.
That would be like him being like, oh, you're right. Healthcare reform is a bad idea.
Yes, exactly.
Or, oh, you're right. Obamacare should be replaced.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. We've mismanaged this whole thing. Here, take this symbolic victory from me.
And if she resigns, all he has to do then, at that point, is nominate somebody else.
He's never going to let her resign because if he has to nominate someone else, they're never going to.
They're never going to. I know that's the thing. That's probably why they want to get rid of her in the first place because
they know
they're so hell bent on getting rid of Obamacare. If she does step down, then they're just going to basically filibuster and like not approve anyone who has anything who wants Obamacare to keep going forward, which is obviously who he would nominate.
Yeah.
So it's like.
I have vague ideas that, like,
we would never have a head of HHS again if she sat down.
Exactly.
You know? Like,
I have vague ideas that when we look back at history books, like, all of this, like, crazy opposition will be, like, funny stories that they tell, like, in little margin boxes. Like, the way that you tell that, like, Strom Thurmond spent, like, 22 hours filibustering civil rights bill.
Right.
Like, you learn about civil rights in the positive way. Like, in the actual, like, narrative in the book is, like, these are the positive steps that were taken to expand civil rights.
Negative
and
then, sidebars.
And there's little sidebars that are like, Strom Thurmond, blah, 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 sat for 22 hours and, you know, has a bladder of steel or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is going to be the story in the margins of what happens here.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a history book entry about, like, historic healthcare reform. And it's not even that historic because it's, from my perspective, like, a minor step on the way to good ideas.
Yeah. The time that the entire country was forced to buy health insurance.
Right, yeah, exactly. But then there's going to be a sidebar that's like Republicans attempting to do anything they could to delay this law, attempted a number of like ridiculous strategies, none of which succeeded.
Yeah, and it's the comic portion of the story.
Yeah, it's the comic portion of the story.
Yeah.
They're sort of like shut down the government for 16 days over the dream that they could delay Obamacare for a year while they figured out how to get rid of it.
Tried to get the head of HHS fired.
Yeah. Like, these are just going to be hilarious sidebars.
Yeah. And also the fact that, like, the White House is, like, very clearly, like, trying to downplay the fact that this website isn't working.
Right.
So, like, when you're trying to downplay something like that, the way to downplay that is not to fire the head of that department.
High-profile firings are not the right idea.
That's not what you do.
That's
the website will be working in a couple weeks, and Kathleen Sebelius is fired.
Exactly.
They should just stop themselves.
They should stop themselves.
Yeah.
They're on vacation. They should just...
There's 0% chance this is going to happen.
Yeah. I think there's something that we're going to start hearing about as their sort of, like, last-ditch attempt to, like, be troublesome.
Probably.
Because I think this is the only direction they really have to go at this point.
Yeah.
The website's down. We couldn't run with that because Ted Cruz screwed us.
Yep.
Let's get rid of somebody. Let's fire somebody.
Yeah.
It's a very capitalist kind of mentality. We'll fire a person.
Yeah. Well, they love firing people.
They love firing.
Mitt Romney told us that.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember? He loves firing people.
It's one of his favorite things to do.
Yeah.
It's the best way that he knows how to relate.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, and we haven't talked much about this.
No.
But for a while, I was talking about this a lot in my personal life. Vermont... years ago passed a single payer bill and it's the first state in the union to do it. They're a state that's sort of uniquely positioned to do it. They have a socialist senator in Vermont.
There's no people there and it's like the most liberal state in the country.
And it has, I mean, it was getting, you know, there's a certain amount of opposition from outside lobbyists and things like that. They have a health insurance industry there. So, like, obviously, yeah. There was money coming in to fight it.
Yeah, they have a whole 15 hospitals there,
exactly.
I read.
But I actually spoke to one of the legislators from the Vermont. That was a squeak. Did you?
It was my shoe.
It was your shoe. Oh. I thought it was me.
No.
I was like, what did I do? I didn't move. Anyway. I talked to one of the legislators in Vermont, like, last year, I think, about this because I had been interested in trying to do something similar in New York where there's a similar law that's sitting in the legislature that's never going anywhere.
Right.
And she had said, you know, like, one of the things that we still have to work out is how we're going to – now that there is national health care reform, we don't really know what that's going to look like because a lot of the funding that comes from that is, like, targeted to specific programs. And if we have a single-payer right. plan, we don't have those
programs. Do we qualify
for
that? Do we get the federal money?
Exactly.
Right.
Like, are we going to have to rearrange things so that we can yeah. get federal money? they announced this week that they're just going ahead with the single-payer plan.
Yeah, screw it.
For a while, they weren't really sure how they were going to fund it. No, and the governor was just, like, sort of not really dealing with it.
Yeah, the governor had, like, previously said that, like, they wanted to sort of, like, wait to see how they were going to pay for it. They were going to explore how they were going to pay for it. They were going to wait to see what Obamacare was doing. But now they're, like, it's happening in 2017.
The payroll tax.
And he even floated the idea of, like,
yeah.
the payroll tax being what would pay for it. So they're, like, they're
going
on
for
it. There.
Yeah.
Screw it.
Screw it. I don't see why bigger states can't be doing this. They have more to gain from it.
Yeah.
And what I'm hoping is that just as Massachusetts showed that this is something that the plan that we're currently using with the Affordable Care Act can work on a large scale, I'm hoping that Vermont will show that within a sort of similarly democratic system,
yes,
that there's a way to do a single-payer plan. I'm hoping that it will show that within the confines of the Affordable Care Act, individual
yeah.
states can choose to go in this direction because there are bills sitting in every slightly progressive state
yeah.
in the union, in their legislatures. That are and they're simple bills. They're not like the Affordable Care Act that are like 1 trillion pages long.
No.
They're simple bills. They just say.
Well, it's easier to figure out Medicare for all than it is to figure out
yeah.
make all
just
of the rules.
Sign everyone up for Medicare.
Yeah,
super simple. All the hospitals and doctors in the state and just are paid by the state and run through the state
yep.
and they negotiate with the state and it's super easy.
Yeah.
But so in any case, it's exciting to hear that Vermont is going forward with this.
Yeah.
They announced that this week, possibly because. I don't know. They wanted to be in the news cycle since Oregon was getting so much play. That was my theory.
Could be it.
And, of course, the health insurance lobby is, like, all up in their grill. But, like...
Who cares?
There's no way to spin single payer that doesn't sound like a good idea for consumers.
No.
So, deal.
If there's any state that's not going to listen to the biggest health insurance
yeah,
lobby...
America's health insurance plans or whatever
Vermont.
Their lobbying group
is... It's going to be like, screw off.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and also, the only thing that they have to fall back on is people being like, but people who love their plans won't be able to keep them, which is an old argument that they used to use.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work because nobody loves their health insurance plan. I
no.
have relatively good health insurance, and I still hate my health insurance plan
yeah.
because... It's a fucking health insurance plan, and I can't go see any doctor that I want to see, and I can't do whatever I want to do, because I have to stay in this stupid network for some
yeah.
reason, and, like, follow all their silly rules, and they're always trying to fight everyone for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing with every human being who has a health insurance plan feels that way.
Correct.
No one feels that loyal to their health
no.
insurance.
I have a shitty health insurance plan.
Yeah. Like, is it better than having no insurance?
It's
yeah,
an,
of
and
course.
It's an employer plan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not,
but
you know, it's terrible.
Is it shitty? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Would you rather just be able to go see whatever doctor and do whatever?
Sure.
Yeah, of course you would.
Would I rather the state be paying for it?
Yeah. Yeah, would you rather that you don't have all this out-of-pocket cost associated with your health care plan that is still, like you have employer-provided health insurance, and there's still this enormous out-of-pocket cost.
Yes.
Like, I have an enormous, like, I even my co-pays are an enormous out-of-pocket cost to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, out of control.
It's, yeah.
You may have settled with the idea that the shutdown was sort of a big loss for the Republicans.
Right.
A lot of them will tell you that.
Most Republicans will tell you that.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz, who was responsible for it...
Not of that mind.
...still isn't convinced. Yeah.
He thinks he did a great thing.
Yes.
He told a sparse crowd.
Yes. He was at the Iowa GOP's annual fundraiser in Des Moines, which was sort of... If you'll remember back a while ago, there was... I think there was like a... There was a BOGO situation going on.
Exactly.
Buy one, get one free for the Ted Cruz tickets. I actually think it was 50% off.
Yeah.
But, so... This was the dinner that he was at. Gave a big speech
mm-hmm.
and sort of declared that the shutdown was a massive success.
Yeah, they really showed everyone what a wreck
yes.
that Obamacare is.
Yeah, but which is so ridiculous because, like, so all of the experts and, like, even Republicans have said this, like, and we just mentioned it earlier, had the shutdown not been going on, then we would have talking about would have been talking about what a big flaming mess the Obamacare website was.
Yeah, that's...
But instead, we were concerned about the debt ceiling, whether we were going to go into default, what...
Yeah.
I mean, you know...
You may notice that not only is there a motorcycle idling outside of our sound studio, there's also a siren coming. Like,
we had this last week, too.
Yeah.
We had sirens and idling motorcycles.
That just idles his motorcycle in front of our sound studio.
I don't know.
So unfair.
So rude.
It's so rude.
God.
Even, by the way, if we were not recording audio in here, it would be a little rude to just be idling your motorcycle outside someone's house.
Like, stop doing that.
Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
And also, why can't you just leave? Why can't, once you started your motorcycle,
imagine when I'm trying
drive
to sleep
away.
In the sound studio.
Exactly.
It's a real
it's
problem.
The worst. In any case, everyone knows that Ted Cruz basically prevented the GOP from jumping on the one thing that could have gotten some traction with this whole Obamacare website thing.
And you know who else realizes that? Rick Santorum.
That's when you know.
And once Rick Santorum realizes, I mean, all bets are off.
Yeah, Rick Santorum said, I would say in the end, he did more harm. I think it was not his objective. I think his objective was a laudable one.
Sure.
But it's one thing to have a goal and another thing to have a plan to get to your goal, and he didn't figure that out.
No, he did not.
He did not.
But that was never his plan.
No, he didn't.
We've talked about that a ton.
Exactly.
They didn't know what they didn't have a goal. They had a goal, but they didn't have they didn't have a path to the goal.
Their plan was to have a goal.
Right. That was like, they had, like, there should have been like a 10-step plan to get to that goal, and they only knew what step one was.
Exactly. Yeah. They had not even reached the middle under five steps.
No.
Like, they were so far from having a step two.
Two. No.
That it was
no
mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. These are the people that are responsible for leading the government with plans. They're responsible for coming up with national plans of sorts.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
But one of the other things that I think ultimately Ted Cruz will be remembered for is losing a whole
losing
bunch of other people's seats and the House. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are, like, 37 districts, Republican districts, that are currently up for grabs, if you will. They include districts. There are a bunch in California, which it's a lot of districts in California, a lot of mid-Atlantic districts, states that are not heavily conservative states that have sort of random, vaguely conservative outposts, and that don't really need to stay Republican. They aren't aligned with this sort of Tea Party craziness.
No.
I mean, Peter King might lose his seat over this, and Peter King was the only voice of reason in the entire debacle.
Right. But people are just sort of, like, ready to turn on Republicans, like, at large.
Well,
and the Democrats only need 17 of these seats.
Exactly.
Like, if they keep all of their seats, I mean, they won't. But, I mean, they need a net gain from where they are now of 17 seats. And if 37 of them are truly up for grabs, I mean, you've sort of got to... But the pollster, I think, was quoted as saying, like, not only could they take back the majority, but they could win a sizable majority.
Paul Ryan's seat is up for grabs.
Yeah, that
right
was,
now.
Like, within the margin of error.
Yeah. Like, a lot of these... And, I mean, I think that this probably doesn't even count the number of people who just, like... Within the next 3 years, we'll have challengers that will come out of the blue and sort of, like, wipe out whoever is... Because I think that by the time the election comes around in 2014, we will sort of know who the 85 Republicans were that voted to end the shutdown and who the rest of them were.
Yeah.
And those people that were in that rest category will all be facing random challengers over this one issue.
Yeah.
This is going to come up... You know, I don't think that... I think Democrats would be fools if they didn't run on this issue, even though it'll be a year from now. So I think they will. And I think that we're probably going to see a lot of seats. I mean, you know, the guy who reps my parents' district in upstate New York was not on this list, but he is currently a little bit vulnerable in his seat. There's a bunch of seats that weren't even on this list that I think are probably vulnerable seats where they just haven't...
I think they only pulled... I think I read that they pulled, like, 61 districts vaguely in play. Like, it wasn't a full accounting.
I think that basically... I mean, we had like, almost, you know, what? Like, almost, like, 150 Republicans who voted to keep the shutdown going, basically.
Yeah.
Only 40 of those are Tea Partiers. I mean... I think that we're going to have at least
110 assholes.
Yeah. Like, who are those 110 people? I don't think all those seats are going to be in play, but I think we're going to have a pool of 110 people to sort of pick from, those people are going to have challengers.
What happens when something like this happens is that it always allows someone to run against them on that issue. Like, so, because if these people had not sort of, like, it's harder for, like, someone to come out of the woodwork and just sort of, like run on some sort of, like, start a campaign, like, on some, like, vague issue or just sort of, like, a general dislike of that candidate.
Yeah.
But, like, this sort of, like, allows someone to come up and be, like, this asshole shut down the government.
Yeah.
And, like, then you just hammer and hammer and hammer and maybe you win, maybe you don't.
Stop and frisk. of New York.
Yeah.
Stop, you know, the Republican candidate in the New York mayoral race is not going to win. No. And part of it is because, I mean, Christine Quinn didn't even come out strong enough against Stop and Frisk. That's why she didn't win.
Right.
But this Republican candidate's not going to win at all. And I bet if you boiled it down to, like, what the, you know, the most sort of, like, important issue that could have, like, almost could have changed the tune of the voters in New York was, if he had come out, you know, saying something different about Stop and Frisk and not supporting Stop and Frisk, I think that probably people would have taken him, sort of taken a second look at him.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to. That's not going to happen. But that's how someone like Bill de Blasio pulls ahead in a race like that, is he starts hammering on an issue that is on everyone's mind.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be great because there's going to be the 85 Republicans who voted to stop the shutdown are going to face Tea Party challengers. That's going to open the door for Democrats in those districts.
Yes.
The rest of them, the 110 other people or whatever who voted to keep the shutdown going, are going to face Democratic challengers. Like, somewhere in that mix
are 17 seats.
Are 17 seats.
Yeah.
One hopes.
Yeah.
We are really incompetent if we can't pull that off.
I agree.
Incompetent.
And we've proven we are sometimes.
So that's a possibility.
It's too early to know.
We have always devised ingenious ways to mess things up at
correct.
The last minute.
But
when
the
we
Republicans
can.
Have been doing that more than we have recently.
They are really messing things
they're
up.
They're really messing it up.
Also, they're basically running a general election in each primary between two separate parties. Like,
it's true.
Not every state has jungle primaries, friends.
Right. That's,
California might have some interesting things to say about all of this because there, anything can happen in a California primary because it's basically just the general election.
That's a free-for-all.
It's a free-for-all. But in other states, the Republicans are going to knock each other out in the primaries, and they're going to basically, like, either end up with someone too crazy to run or someone who's not going to ally themselves with the Tea Party. Like, no one who's claiming to be moderate but still will ally themselves with the Tea Party is going to get elected in this round because that has proven to be disastrous.
Yeah.
We have jobs numbers.
Oh, boy.
They don't mean anything, so don't worry about what we're telling you.
Right, because we're also going to tell you about the ones from last month that we reported on that have been revised because they were wrong.
Yes.
Because they always are. That's what happens.
Every month.
So this month, the fake jobs numbers are that we added 148,000 jobs in September, which everybody is saying is bad because they were expecting that it would be 180. We may find out in November that we actually did.
We might find out that we added 500,000 jobs because there's no telling what we're going to find out.
No, you can't know.
You can't know.
You can't know. So unemployment went down from 7.3% to 7.2%.
Possibly because even more people are bored of looking for work in an economy where there's no jobs.
There was some of that. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. And also, if you're wondering why these were late, it's because they didn't have them because we were having a government shutdown.
Now, if you're wondering what they do to get them in the first place, I can't imagine it's anything because they're making them up.
Correct.
So,
yeah. We've often thought about making them up ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that if we made up really optimistic ones, the economy might just sort of spontaneously improve.
Yeah, maybe.
I think there's a lot of power in these numbers.
I do, too. Well, and there were some supposed bright spots, but again, who knows whether these are real either.
They could be fake.
But employers supposedly added 20,000 temporary workers, and usually when that many temporary workers are added, like, that's a sign that, like, they are going to be adding more full-time workers. And the average hourly earnings went up. $0.03, which is not a much, but I mean, like, not a much.
$0.03, not a much.
It's not a much.
You are now a Sicilian grandmother, pizza maker, a cartoon pizza maker.
Uh-huh. Yep.
The number of people out of work for at least 6 months fell by 144,000, which,
great.
By the way, when the number of people who have been out of work for at least 6 months falls by almost as many jobs as you have gained. That's not a great sign.
Right. And it fell to 4.1 million, which doesn't sound great either.
It's not awesome.
It seems like too many.
So we added 148,000 jobs, and we still have 4.1 million people who have been out of work for at least 6 months. That doesn't count people who have been out of work since, you know, in the last 6 months.
Right.
So that's terrible.
That's
we're all starving
terrible.
To death here.
I know,
the whole
totally.
Nation is falling apart.
And the next job report is not going to be very good because it's going to have all the shutdown numbers.
Oh, yeah. No one had a job last month.
No, not great.
A real disaster.
Yeah.
It's...
Yeah, boy.
So one of the things that everyone has been talking about in the aftermath of the shutdown, a thing that me and Brent both contend is never going to happen...
Never.
...is immigration reform.
Yeah.
That's... Harry Reid sort of came out immediately and started talking about that's their...
So did
that's
Obama.
Their next push. Obama... Yeah. Obama came out and started talking about that. It's going to be interesting because it is likely to cause just like a total breakdown within the Republican Party.
Yes.
As if you hadn't already seen the beginnings of what is a horrific breakdown.
Right.
They're about to lose all of their shit.
Yeah. Because there are, next month, there is going to be like a huge lobbying push to get Republicans to actually do something about immigration. Right. And it's going to be coming from other conservatives. Like, yeah. It's basically like a conservative lobbyers are, like, coming and, like, really going to make a push. They're, like, business leaders. They're, like, people from the religious community.
Agriculture.
All of those
major
people.
Major agriculture.
Right, all of those people are basically, like, going to come and tell all the Republicans why they have to pass immigration.
There are
immigration
80 representatives that are being targeted by this.
Yes.
All of them are Republicans. They come from 40 different states. And this is sort of, this is going to be a test for them. Because, you know, obviously their idea of immigration reform is not exactly what Democrats would like to see is immigration reform. But this is an issue that I think a lot of people in the agriculture and business communities know has to be addressed.
Yes.
Like how healthcare had to be addressed.
Right.
This ultimately is going to have to be addressed. We can't just walk around pretending like we're not just having like a giant clusterfuck when it comes to our immigration policy.
Yeah, you can't pretend that.
No.
But I don't think anybody's pretending that, but even the there are people who literally are just not going to vote for anything to do with immigration.
Yeah, it's like,
going to
be like what we're seeing with healthcare.
Right. There are Republicans who have said that they are not even going to vote for border security. Republicans are obsessed with border security because they're afraid that if they vote for border security, that it's going to either like it's basically just going to be like a Trojan horse to something else. It's going to be
It's going to get border amnesty.
Border security is like the gateway drug to amnesty.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, like, that's crazy. That is, like, totally wacko.
That's conspiracy theory.
It is.
That's full-on conspiracy theory.
But these are people, I mean, Steve King is like that.
Yeah.
There are Republicans who are just going to vote no, that if it was under the, like, if it was called immigration reform and it was a bill to remove all brown people from the country,
if
it was, like, somehow pitched as an immigration bill, they would still vote no for it.
Yeah.
Like, they're just not voting on immigration. They're not touching it.
Yeah. Which is probably, I mean, I'm, there's two things.
Okay.
One is that that's crazy because for the nation's interest and for their sort of general national reputation, that's going to be problematic. Two is that it's probably not a terrible idea in their case because their constituents are about as crazy as they are.
Yeah.
And probably any decision that they make on immigration reform is going to be the wrong one.
Correct. Yeah.
They're going to have Tea Partiers complaining about one side of the bill. They're going to have moderates complaining about the other. If they do vote for increased border security and there is sort of a change to the amnesty process as, you know, that's part of that same package.
Yeah, that's a lose for them.
That's a lose for them because even though their moderates will be like, yay, border security, they're going to be, I mean, yay, amnesty, they're going to be pissed that all this money is going into border security and then the Tea Party is going to be pissed that there's amnesty and then there's going to be just like nonstop anger.
Yeah.
At all turns.
Yeah.
All from states that probably benefit greatly from the presence of immigrants.
Exactly. Well, and what I find interesting about this is that there are a lot of people who are saying that Republicans privately don't want to vote on this in the next year because they have the midterms coming. So they don't even want to be on record with this. But they all do know that they have to vote on it because they know that they're not going to win a presidential election without doing something about it. So what most people think is probably going to happen is that you're going to see this in 2015.
Yeah.
They're going to get to it so they can potentially win the presidency, but not a second before because they don't want to have to deal with it in terms of running for re-election.
I would say that if we were dealing with the Republican Party of yore, this might be a logical sequence for them to follow.
Yeah.
I don't think they have enough control over their own caucus at the moment to have that kind of a plan.
Probably not, yeah.
I think that they have enough control over their caucus to not get anything done.
Certainly.
Before 2014.
Yeah. Or before 2016.
But I don't think that they're going to be able to be like, okay, guys, here's the plan.
No.
We're not going to deal with this before the midterms. We're going to deal with it. We need it to win the presidency. Those Tea Partiers don't seem to care
about
the presidency.
That. No.
They're not going to win the presidency.
They
so
lost
they give a
the presidency. I mean, they lost the presidency for them this last time.
They are people that are up to losing major national elections.
Correct.
All the time.
Right.
That's
state Senate elections.
Yeah.
Pushing Romney so far to the right that he lost the presidency.
Like,
I mean,
they're
basically only interested in losing elections.
Exactly.
That's what they're up to.
It's not unheard of that they would prevent something that is sort of just being done in the interest of winning the presidency, you know, from happening. It's heard of. It's been heard of. And they're certainly, I mean, it's so funny because they're like definitely very vulnerable in states that are just that are immigrant heavy for this reason. Like they, you know, it's like obvious to anyone with a brain that the only reason that anyone's talking about Arizona ultimately going blue is because they have immigrants there.
Right.
That's why I think Texas will ultimately go blue. Yeah. It's only states with immigrants that we're talking about being in danger of going blue.
Well, and I mean, California is blue, but all of those, you know, all of those representatives who's, there were like three or four who are going to lose their seats.
That's
going to
be because of immigrants, guys. Like, I'm not worried that, like, Mississippi is going blue. No one is talking about Mississippi going blue, so we're all good there. But, like, the states that are going to lose them the sort of control of the nation are all going to be states that have immigrants in them, and it's going to be with this one issue. And if they could just – and all the people that are so opposed to it are from states that benefit from immigrants but don't have that many of them.
Right.
Steve King is not drowning in immigrants.
No.
He doesn't have any in his district, probably.
Probably
so it probably doesn't matter. And you know what? If they pass immigration reform and improve amnesty, he's still not going to have any immigrants in his district because nobody wants to live in bumblefuck
Western
Iowa.
Western Iowa. No.
Like, that's not a place anyone's trying to move anyway.
Nope.
So, whatever. I rested my case. We still don't think this will get done.
Nope.
It's nice that they're trying. They
not
have nothing
trying.
Else to do. What are they up to?
I think they're sort of, like, publicly pretending to try and, like, privately have no intention of trying.
Not worrying about it.
Yeah.
Yes, I feel like they're just not worried. Like, I feel like Obama and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi probably got together and they were like, we will sound awesome if we talk about immigration reform right now.
Yeah.
So let's do it. But now they're sort of like, well, we'll just let it sort of fight itself out. And
well, the Republicans in the House have already said that they're, like, still going to, like, continue to try and get Obamacare, you know, defunded. So, like, they have
more
their agenda already.
Yeah.
Like, they don't need to worry about immigration. They have their plan.
Right.
They have their tunnel vision.
Exactly.
It doesn't have immigration in it.
No. No, it's just a nonstop plan to vote on a bill repeatedly that no one is ever going to sign.
Yep.
They love it.
Oh, boy.
International news.
Yeah, we're spying on,
everyone.
Merkel from Germany, but also everyone else.
Yeah, earlier this week when the story broke that we were spying on the Prime Minister of Germany, Brent IM'd me and was like, is it possible that we were just spying on her by accident because we're spying on literally everybody?
Right, right.
Like, he was like, I wouldn't be surprised if we're also spying on, like, Sri Lanka.
Right, I mean, that's what I really
like Easter Island.
Sort of
like, we might be spying on literally anybody.
We're spying on our own people. We're because I think it also came out this week. We were like spying on like Mexico. We're spying on Brazil. We're just like, I mean, we don't need to be spying on
Brazil's
somebody.
Brazil's president
like,
canceled a state dinner with us because we were spying on them.
Like, what are we?
And
what are we?
Spain's prime
there?
Minister is super pissed.
Like, who? Why are we spying on them? Are we just doing like a blanket spying situation? And like, we just, you know, Angela Merkel like just found out that she was being spied upon and was like, oh shit. But like, what she doesn't know is that we, you know,
spying
on everyone.
Up to everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it takes, I feel like it took someone direct, like a German, to really just sort of like make a case.
I feel like you probably don't want to fuck with her.
No.
I had to guess.
No. I would not even have to guess to think that. You know, I sort of feel like we probably thought we could get away with it in Brazil. Because, like, they're a little disorganized or whatever. But, like, why, like, France is pissed? France will use any excuse to hate us.
Yeah.
Like, why would we be spying on them? We know that they're up to no good because they're up to being French.
Right. Meanwhile, the UK, Great Britain, is not pissed.
No.
Oddly.
Great Britain used this as a way to be pissed at Edward Snowden.
Yes.
And
but not
partially,
us.
I think that's because we have a no-spy arrangement with them, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. So us in the British Empire are just
thank God we're not spying on New Zealand.
If there's one place I think we definitely should be spying on, it is Great Britain. Like
probably.
We don't need to be spying in Australia.
No.
They're too far away from anyone to be doing anything anyway. Like New Zealand?
No.
Like what they're releasing 16-year-old teen sensations albums and things like that. But like what else are they up to? Nothing. Like Canada is literally up to nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
No.
Great Britain is up to all sorts of shenanigans.
I know.
We should definitely be spying on them. If we're spying on Germany and France, we should 100%. Especially
we should be spying on all of Europe.
All of Europe. France and Britain have historically, and Germany, have historically been the cause of all the shenanigans that have caused all of the major wars that we have been involved in.
I know.
Like, if anyone needs to be spied on, it's those three.
Yeah.
So, in any case, Germany and France want to be added to our list of countries we agree not to spy on. Brazil is trying to lead a UN resolution to limit information gathering, but it's going to be non-binding if it passes, so obviously we're not going to follow it.
Right.
I think that we may just sort of, like, be a nation that enjoys spying.
But, well, and you also, we probably do, and you also said to me earlier today, like, are they not spying on us?
Well, this is the other thing is,
Is it so impossible to believe that, like, everybody may just be spying on everyone else?
It's my impression as a movie watcher that all nations are currently spying on each other.
Probably.
We, like, in a sort of, like, Soviet Union U.S. style, like, sneaky spy way.
Sure.
Maybe not in such hilarious costumes and with funny accents anymore.
Right.
We probably are more sophisticated than that at spying these days. But, like, I would guess that there are citizens of other countries that are just reporting back on various sort of narrow facts that they're gleaning while living in the U.S. to their national governments.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to hear that. I wouldn't be annoyed to hear that, because we're up to no good also.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, like, it makes me more comfortable to think,
I would like that, to think
everyone
that
is spying on everyone as just, like, we are spying on everyone else. Like, I hope that Germany is spying on us.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're spying on them.
No, if we're all spying on each other, then everyone's being kept in check.
That's it.
We all know what everyone's up to.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
Spying is only problematic if only one party is doing it.
Correct.
If every party is doing it, then everyone is on their toes, and no one is up to no good.
Yep.
It's fine. It'll be fine. We have our first official Hillary Pillory segment, starting right now.
Well, now it's really official.
It's happened.
The comedy horns make it official.
The beginning of a real Hillary Pillory.
That's it. Yes.
It begins with our own Ron Howard.
Oh,
he's
boy.
Not ours. We don't own him.
Nope.
He's just some guy that
Lila
we don't
doesn't
know.
Like him. She just saw
Rush.
Oh,
God.
Too stressful, wasn't it?
It wasn't even that it was too stressful. You would think that me disliking a movie would be about how stressful it is.
Yeah.
And you'd be right to assume that. However, what I didn't like about Rush is that it was stupid. You need
Fair
to know
enough.
My full views on Rush. It starts with this guy who has an Austrian accent. So he sounds a little bit like a machine when he talks.
Is it, what's his name? The hot one?
No, that's the other guy.
Okay. All right.
The hot guy, Thor.
Was it Thor? No, it wasn't Thor.
Thor plays the British guy. He's very charming. If he had narrated the whole thing, I would have been like, all right.
Yeah,
okay. Let's go. But it's narrated by this Austrian guy who sounds like a robot.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, it is my opinion and facts opinion that all people with German-ish accents sound like robots when they speak English.
Oh.
That's a problem that Germans are having,
okay.
Or other Germanic peoples. Austrians are having that problem. That's why Arnold Schwarzenegger could play the Terminator so well.
Oh, yeah.
He's playing an actual machine. He had the right accent for it.
He did.
So it's being narrated by a guy that you don't feel has emotions or feelings.
Right.
Because he's a machine.
Right.
And so the narration sounds sort of like, it's sort of like cloying and horrible.
Yeah.
Because it's like that cheesy, like, it's the same thing I hated about the Warhorse trailer, which I was rallying against for months.
Yeah.
And the same thing that I hate about most Spielberg projects these days.
Mm-hmm.
They're just sort of like from a bygone era of film where it was all about this like cheesy, overblown spectacle and this like frustrating amount of earnestness. And it was just sort of like of that sort of ilk.
Sure.
Whereas now I think we like to go for slightly more realistic, you know, tone-wise, more realistic projects.
Sure.
So this had that problem.
Yeah.
But it had that plus a robot narrating it. And
also,
I was just sort of like, stop yourself.
It's rare that I go for a movie with a lot of narration.
You don't
anyway.
Need... It didn't need any narration.
It always bothers me.
It was not a movie that needed narration. It was one of those movies where, because it was based on real events, it just sort of would like blow through entire periods of time with montages,
mm-hmm.
which is like my least favorite thing ever. Like if you have a period of time that is passing, everyone, you know, there are moments that you need a montage.
Sure.
There are times
and
that you need
everybody
to
loves a movie montage.
Well, and every time, you know, like when you have like a series of actions that are being taken that don't require dialogue and you need to get through them quickly because there's no reason to be lingering over like people shaking
Find
hands.
Find a great track of music.
And get a montage together, for sure. If you're shopping, I don't want to follow you through that whole shopping trip.
No.
So put some exciting music on and montage.
Try on a bunch of outfits and laugh and...
Right. Giggle, have some champagne, do all of those things. If you are just racing in a bunch of race car driving events... And are just driving in circles on tracks that look roughly the same, and you are wearing the same outfit and look the same.
That's boring.
That's boring. And if you need to distinguish them by putting up like you know,
giant text cards.
Giant
or something.
Text cards. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what I was going to call those.
Yeah, sure.
I was going to say giant words. I was like, I want to use a better word than that.
Graphics.
Graphics. Yeah, if you have to use graphics to distinguish between the events because they all look exactly the same.
Well, it's a problem in general with race car driving.
It's a problem with race car driving.
Opinion.
It's a problem with the narrative if you rely on us knowing the difference between all of those events.
Yeah.
Because at the end, you could have just told us who had won how many events, yeah, and we would have known exactly the same amount as we knew without all of the freaking driving and text cards.
Yeah. Now.
Right.
Back to Hillary Pillory.
The first thing we did on Hillary Pillory was talk about Ron Howard's movie.
But back to Ron Howard.
Yeah.
He's going to support Hillary Clinton.
It's the wrong choice, but he's going to do it.
He
had some good things to say about Obama. Mm-hmm. He was an Obama supporter. He was asked about, you know, whether he thinks that Obama's living up to his expectations. He thought, roughly speaking, that he was.
Yeah.
He's been pretty happy with him. But he then said that he sees himself supporting Hillary for 2016 and said, I'm inclined to believe in her as much as ever. She's had all the additional experience of being Secretary of State. Whatever. I would have believed before she became Secretary of State that she had the experience necessary to be Secretary of State.
Not the point.
And I would believe now that she still has that experience. And I think
shouldn't lose
the
it.
Lovely Secretary of State. I'm not inclined to support his position.
No. Or George Soros' position.
George Soros. First of all, before we even get into this, can we talk about how annoyed we are with Ready for Hillary?
I'm annoyed with
Facebook.
They're
finding me on corners of the internet that I can't even imagine how they're getting to.
No. They know.
It's like
they
the
know
time,
who we are.
It's like how there was one time at work where I was looking up dance shoes, because I was looking at ballet shoes on the internet,
sure,
like I do at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was then reading Huffington Post, and I was in some article that was like the, like, youth section of Huffington Post, or like some random place, and I was reading an article about, like,
yeah,
politics.
Sure.
And I just got, like, nonstop, like, harassed by ads with dance shoes in them. And I was like, how are you finding me here? I don't understand why you know this. I feel like Ready for Hillary is finding me on websites that are not political in nature.
Mm-hmm.
They're exclusively targeting me on stories on Huffington Post that, mm-hmm, are like 10 secrets to save, mm-hmm, your marriage.
And Facebook may as well just...
Oh, my God.
I'm afraid a Facebook representative is going to show up at the door and just force me to like Ready for Hillary.
Yeah,
they have over a million likes right now.
I was not thrilled with the Facebook advertising in your newsfeed thing, as I, you know, no one was.
No one was.
But I'm especially unthrilled because they seem inclined to think that I'm a Hillary supporter and I'm ready for her, which I'm not.
No.
They, every time I sign on to Facebook, are telling me...
It's annoying.
By the way, I read a book that was about the sort of dystopian future
of
interwebs.
Oh, that's right, the new the Dave Eggers book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm feeling really
That was
suspect.
Giving... You were panicking a lot about,
yeah,
that. You had to read that and a Stephen King book.
I know.
Within the last month.
I know.
I don't know how you did it.
I know. Well, I'll tell you how. The Stephen King book was stupid. That's how. No one heard me say that. I'm sure he's... Well, I don't think he's a lovely guy, so whatever.
One of the great American writers.
Yeah, sure. And I'm under the impression that The Exorcist is a truly terrifying read that I hope to never read.
Right. He also didn't write that.
Well, not The Exorcist. The Shining. Is The Exorcist even a book?
Yes.
Oh, it is. Uh-huh. Who wrote that?
I don't know.
Okay. The Shining.
Right, because it was the sequel
to The
Shining.
It was the sequel to Shining.
Right.
Okay. I'm not under the impression that him buying into, like, a tween vampire trend... And writing a book about
that.
Is that
what this was?
Oh, my God. It's so vampire-y.
Oh, no.
It's so dumb. Don't read it.
Okay. All right. I won't. Good. George Soros.
George Soros is joining forces with Ready for Hillary, our,
yeah,
favorite people to hate.
He gave him $25,000.
Yeah.
And basically sort of has declared that he, you know...
Is in charge.
His wealth is their wealth.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And, I mean, I think, you know, in the last presidential cycle, he only gave $2.8 million. But in 2004, he gave $24 million to the Democratic...
Right.
Group, the various Democratic groups,
right,
that were working on ousting George Bush. That's how he sort of became such a big guy in the whole,
yeah,
Democratic fundraising scene.
Yes.
But he gave, in the last election cycle, he gave $1 million to Priorities USA Action, which is a super PAC that I think that was working for Obama but is expected to fundraise for Hillary if she throws her name into the ring. And he's on some kind of, like, he's on, like, the National Financial Council for Ready for Hillary now, which is just everyone who gives $25,000. They cap your donations at $25,000,
yeah,
so you can't give more than that to them. But, yeah, they have a million Facebook likes.
It's upsetting. Everything about both of these stories is upsetting.
This is not a week, like, last week we were able to bring you stories of other people pillorying Hillary.
Right.
This week is just all about how much everyone's in love with her.
Ugh.
Like, I'm, first of all.
Tell me.
I'm sick of people like Ron Howard, who are not explicitly part of the political process, like, throwing their name into the ring before Hillary has even declared.
It's annoying.
Don't tell me you're going to support her until she's an actual candidate in the election, because you're not the guy that I want to force her into the race.
No.
Ron Howard is not who I take my voting advice from.
No.
He's just a guy with a lot of money, which worries me.
Correct.
He's a guy, also, who's going to throw some fundraisers, which are going to cause a big stir
yes.
in L.A. and are going to cause traffic.
Oh, my God. Those fundraiser traffic is terrible
the
here.
Worst. I think that they should be forced to throw their fundraisers in the states that the candidates are actually planning to spend their time.
Right.
So if they're going to only come to California to cause traffic for us and are not going to campaign here, they should have to throw their fundraisers in Nevada instead.
Yes. All the rich Hollywood celebrities...
They can afford to fly themselves to Nevada.
...should have to go to Des Moines.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And just have a big fucking blowout.
Yeah. Because that's
hate it.
Because that's... Where their candidate is, that's what they're paying for their candidate to do, is yeah. hang out in Des Moines.
Right.
They're not paying for their candidate to talk to people in Los Angeles about their needs.
No.
So, no one cares about what people in Los Angeles want. They just want our money.
Correct.
I don't want their traffic.
Nope.
There I said
neither.
I don't even want Obama to come here. He doesn't care about what we want here.
No.
He doesn't need to, know
never
what
has.
We want. Never well, has,
and
never
he doesn't,
will.
He doesn't need to care.
No, exactly. He doesn't need to
so
care.
So why should he?
So why should I care about being respectful of the police when they're trying to tell me that I can't get home because they're blocking off the entire neighborhood around my office.
Right.
Because he's having a fundraiser.
In Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Jerk.
More international news.
Yeah, more international news. Syria is sort of like following the agreement
so
in getting
far.
Rid of their chemical
I
weapons
mean,
so far. Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen?
No
I mean,
one
they're
knows.
Terrible. They've proven to be terrible. I mean, but
what
this
if,
seems to be like potentially sort of working-ish,
what if
I guess?
All it took was just us asking nicely? After... Right. All of that
well,
hand-wringing.
Obama and John Kerry would say it was asking nicely and the threat of, like, blowing them up.
I would say that's not true.
I would maybe
I mean,
agree with you.
I would say that there is something terrifying about
Might
the
not
idea
hurt.
Of the
maybe
U.S.
Didn't
right,
hurt. Yeah.
Of the U.S. threatening to blow you up. I would say, though, also, that maybe next time, before we actually try to act on it, we should just ask.
Yes.
We can talk about how we're going to blow them up all we want. But, like, this was, like, an accidental thing. I know that, like, it later got reported, like, somehow John Kerry had been vetted to say all of this. I still don't think that was true. He said it as an off-the-cuff remark,
right.
where he was like, well, if they're gonna get rid of everything, then fine,
yeah.
we'll just want. And, like, maybe we should try that in all circumstances before we go
Perhaps.
In.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have tried that in Iraq.
Yeah. Well,
you
we're
can you guys,
seemingly trying it with Iran right now.
Yeah. Can you guys just get rid of your WMDs?
Sure.
Oh, you want to? Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Give us a list.
Yeah.
And that's what they've done.
Yeah. Of course, they couldn't have in Iraq because they didn't
yeah,
have
it.
So that would have been
give.
Tough.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, so they have released sort of their initial plan to destroy
Right. They
their
filed the details
weapons.
Of all of their poison gas, and which is what they were supposed to do. They had a deadline
right.
that they were supposed to do it
There's
by.
There's a
they
group
did
in
it.
The Hague that deals with these things.
Right.
we don't have the details because the declarations are right. confidential.
Right. And nobody knows how they're going to get them out.
No.
But, like, they've reported on them, but they're still in a massive civil war.
Right.
So how we're going to get them is sort of
It's up for grabs. And they still deny responsibility
right
for using them.
Right.
So what's going on is entirely suspect.
Yeah.
Anyway, apparently, though, the U.S. had asked Norway to destroy, like, a whole bunch of those chemical weapons. And Norway was like, we can't do that.
Right.
So Norway was just sort of like, go to hell. I mean, they didn't say that because they're polite there. But they were
yeah.
they were just like, stop bothering us.
Yeah.
So, speaking of the Middle East.
Yes.
Dick Cheney,
Ugh.
Who doesn't know anything.
Ugh.
Because he believes we have to go to war with everyone.
He
that's,
does.
He's the well. Guy who thinks that we need to go to war with
right,
everyone.
Right, that's his thing.
That's his thing.
Yeah.
So it won't surprise you to hear that he thinks we'll probably have to go to war with Iran.
Right.
He throws these remarks off casually, like, yeah,
yeah.
we'll probably have
he
to go to war with...
He doesn't think all of this, like, diplomacy that's going on with Iran right now is going to amount to anything, that we should probably just plan on having to bomb them,
yeah.
based on, you know, not much.
Yeah. He said he was on This Week with George Stephanopoulos,
mm-hmm.
And Georgie, who was asking Cheney if he thought that military action was inevitable. And Cheney said, I have trouble seeing how we're going to achieve our objective short of that. And I very much doubt that the diplomacy will be effective if there's not the prospect that if diplomacy fails, we'll in fact resort to military force.
Which I thought was interesting because he sort of just like pretty much sort of endorsed what Obama had done in Syria.
Yeah.
I don't know that he realized that he was doing that.
He
but that's
didn't.
Basically because this is what Obama just did in
yeah.
Syria.
Yeah.
But and I'm sure he probably didn't
also,
think that was going so well, but that's basically what he just said
stating,
we should do.
He's using a very grave tone to state a known fact.
He only has a grave tone.
Yeah. Like, this is a very dramatic way of saying that if diplomacy fails, we'll have to consider military action, which is what everyone knows.
Well, right.
The issue is whether or not diplomacy will fail, and he's very pessimistic in this comment about well, diplomacy
because
he doesn't believe in diplomacy.
Right.
He doesn't think that talking to people solves problems. He thinks
no.
killing them solves problems.
Correct.
And so... He's also a age-old hater of Iran.
Well, right.
And Iran has new leadership now, so it's a slightly different thing than it was when he was vice president. But he was always trying to get Bush to go into Iran. He loved a good chance to shit-talk Iran.
Totally.
Loves it.
Yeah.
He's pissed. He has age-old reasons for being pissed at every one of these nations that has nothing to do with current, like, political dynamics and is about, like, some Cold War nonsense that went on years ago.
Yeah. Somebody else who thinks that, well, once he's going, Sheldon Adelson is going one step further.
Yes.
Remember Sheldon Adelson? He's Newt Gingrich's sugar daddy. And who sort of was trying to
running
get the
one man, you know.
Right. He was
a candidate specifically to get the embassy in Israel moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Yes. Well, he thinks that, not only does he think that this diplomacy thing is not going to work, he thinks that we should probably just go ahead and get the bombing out of the way now.
And not just any bombing.
Let's just do it.
He wants to atom bomb them.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, why not? Get that
Take care of it.
He was on this panel at Yeshiva University, which is probably the only kind of panels he gets invited to anymore.
Yeah, probably.
The moderator was Rabbi Shmuley. We don't know how to say his last name because it's either Bioteach or Biotech or something.
Biotech. No, there's no I.
No, teach.
But,
Bioteach, not bio.
Something.
Bioteach.
We don't know.
We don't know. But the important thing is he's Rabbi Shmuley. Rabbi Shmuley asks him whether the U.S. should negotiate with Iran if it were to end its uranium enrichment program.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sort of like, what are we going to negotiate about?
Well, we just stated.
Yeah, it's not hard to know. And then was basically like, what we should do instead is we should call up an Iranian official and then tell them to, like, go to their window and then just, like, drop an atom bomb nearby to show them that we can
and
do
say,
that.
And say, watch this.
Yeah, and say,
that's
watch
what he
this.
Said.
And then be like, the next time it'll be in Tehran. Like,
What?
Also, I think he should be banned from contributing to all presidential elections for this comment.
Right?
He's suggesting atom bombing innocent civilians.
Yes, for nothing.
And as we know from our experience never using the atom bomb again after we bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki,
right,
there are effects that last for generations. And like, there's like nothing more horrible than the atom bomb. That's why no one's ever used it. That's why we all have uranium enrichment programs and we all have all this, you know, atomic technology. And no one uses the atom bomb.
I know.
That's serious shit.
It's serious shit. It's similar to why it's almost, we were talking about how it's almost better if everyone is spying on everyone else. Like, once everybody has nuclear capability, like, the chances that we start a nuclear war, and I'm not saying that everyone should have, like, that's not what I'm advocating for, but I mean, like, the reason that nobody else
is...
This
is why everyone has uranium enrichment programs and
all
those programs. It's not, I don't know that every, you know, the sort of idea that we're all sort of, like, protected from atomic bombs because we all have them.
Right.
It's like saying that if we all have guns, no one will get shot. It's not a perfect
No, I agree. But a nuclear bomb is a little bit different. Yes.
I also think that that is the reason that a country like Iran is actively pursuing a uranium enrichment program, because they don't want to be the only guys without a fucking...
Exactly.
But without the bomb.
Now, would we be better off if no one had them?
Yes.
Yes.
We would be.
That's what we're advocating for.
Yes.
now we got
one thing that we won't be better off is if we start using them.
No.
If we're the people that use them, then we're toast.
Right.
Because everyone else has one now.
I mean, we're already the people that have used them.
Right. We're one of the, like, biggest marks on our reputation, and it's hard because we have a terrible reputation, but, like, the fact that we were the country that went and did that is already a problem.
Yeah.
But also because of the experience of us using them, no one has ever used them again.
Right.
I just can't believe that, like, someone as decrepit and old as Sheldon Adelson would be talking so flippantly about using an act, like, he's like blinded by a love for Israel that can't be stopped.
Yeah.
And this doesn't make Israel safer. What's the first nation to die in an atomic attack after we drop a bomb on Iran?
Right.
Israel's blown off the map at that point. There is no Israel after that. So.
He's not thinking that.
His embassy plans will not go into effect in that circumstance.
No, he doesn't have a lot of foresight.
No, he's not a guy with a lot of foresight. He's a guy with a lot of money.
Yes.
And
too much
money. One will definitely say. In other news, the New York Times finally got their shit together and endorsed de Blasio.
Right, after endorsing Quinn.
They, in their defense, not much of a defense, in 50% of their defense, their endorsement of Quinn was really tepid.
Right, and they
also
sort of
endorsed de Blasio while they were endorsing her, because they basically said that he was most aligned with their principles, but that Quinn was the most likely to win. Now, they're fools because she wasn't even a little likely to win.
Right. She was likely trounced to get third place.
Exactly.
And also de Blasio is like, has like 68% of support right
now. Well, and
now.
He,
like,
as so the moment he won the primary, he had 66%. It's gone up since then. Like, there's not even like a race going
on right now. Yeah.
My parents were in New York and they were like, there's no sign that there's an election going on. It's sort of a foregone conclusion. No one's even talking about it.
Yeah.
It's sort of over.
Yeah.
But so once it was already over, the Times finally got their act together and decided to endorse de Blasio.
Caught up with the people.
Caught up with the people. Caught up with their readers. And basically said that LaHoda's campaign is sort of running a fear-based... LaHoda's running a fear-based campaign, and they sort of think that New Yorkers are responding to de Blasio's lofty, you know, ideals or whatever. But, like, it was not the kind of endorsement... It wasn't a glowing endorsement. I was thinking that maybe to make up for being such jerks in the primary, they should have issued a glowing endorsement.
Didn't do it.
Hopefully this isn't the endorsement that loses him the race, because they have been endorsing a lot of losing mayoral candidates.
Oh, really?
I mean, they endorsed Bloomberg once he had already been elected.
Oh.
But in Bloomberg and Giuliani's first races, they did not endorse them.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, that's a Democratic paper. Like,
well, that's true. Like, they were both Republicans.
Why are they even endorsing Bloomberg in his second or third term?
Right. Was Bloomberg a Republican when he got elected? Yeah. He was, right? Yeah, yeah. And then he changed, too.
And now, who knows what he is? Right. I don't know if he's in a party anymore.
He's just a rich guy.
He's just a guy.
Yeah.
He's a plutocrat.
Yeah.
That party. Meanwhile, Richard Dawkins is all up in Obama's grill.
Yeah, he thinks he's an atheist.
Can you believe it?
Oh, my God.
An atheist? Oh, gotta stop that right now.
Yeah. Well, he's an atheist.
I know.
Richard, yeah, exactly.
He's the atheist.
He's the atheist.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy, though, that maybe, I think, gives atheists an annoying name. Here's why. I think that atheists should not have to feel like that. Well, no, I have two things to say about this. One is that I don't think that as an atheist you should have to feel like you're part of a group that's being that has a leader like Richard Dawkins. Like, it's the absence of said group that makes you an atheist.
Yes.
Which is something I like about being an atheist. It prevents me from having to deal with a bunch of nonsense.
Sure.
I also think that people don't really give enough credence to the fact that atheists in the political and sort of public spectrum are some of the most discriminated against people in America.
I would agree with that.
We have representatives of all sort of colors. We have gay representatives. We have women representatives.
Right.
We don't have a single member of Congress who says they're an atheist.
You have to believe in God.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
You have to believe in this, like, weird, mystical, like, nonsensical thing in order to be representing the, like, fact-based world in the world of facts. Because the government has nothing to do with religion.
No,
it's not a thing.
It shouldn't,
specifically,
anyway.
Yeah. So it shouldn't matter if you believe in God or not to participate in government. The comments were in reference to the fact that there is this book that came out by the White House spiritual advisor. Like, go die in a well.
Right. Well, I was not happy about that.
I don't
She's
want
like,
their,
what is that?
Like, that's not a position in the White House. You don't get to be a spiritual advisor.
Well,
you can be a spiritual advisor professionally in any other capacity.
Right.
But you can't be the White House's spiritual advisor. That's a government position.
Yeah, it is.
The government should not be hiring spiritual advisors for the president. He can hire his own fucking spiritual advisors. In any case, he wrote a book called The President's Devotional, The Daily Readings That Inspired President Obama.
Yes. He says, I've certainly seen the president's faith grow in his time in office. When you cultivate your faith, it grows.
That's disgusting.
Lila was the one who took notes on this. And when I was reading it, I started laughing because after that quote, she has, in parentheses, gag me. And I was like,
That's just like the kind of thing, if you're like a religious person, you probably hear people use language like that all the time and it doesn't bother you. It's like the type of language that most gets under your skin as an atheist because it's nonsensical. And it's sort of like pseudo-poetic, but not really. And it's just sort of like not a thing.
Yeah. Well, he could have gone even further with this. I mean, he could have cultivate the seeds of faith into a, you know, blooming
the
flower.
Metaphors could just come out of your ears with that one.
Mm-hmm.
They love a good metaphor. Because their point is crazy. When you have a crazy point, it's better to use a metaphor. Because people will have a harder time recognizing it. But yeah, HuffPo looked in September. They did sort of like a study of whether or not there were any atheists in Congress, found that there were none.
Yeah.
Zero. Barney Frank, after he retired, admitted that he was an atheist. Pete Stark in California was an atheist while he was in office, but he left in 2012. They are the only fucking atheist anywhere in government.
Yeah.
Like, this is why, by the way, you're seeing atheist groups, like, putting up bus ads and, like, a bunch of other things.
Yeah. Because it's, well, remember, I told you that there was an atheist group walking in the AIDS walk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if you recall, a few years ago, I wrote that HuffPo piece that was about, yeah, like, why so many charities are religious-based and why it's so hard to get into a charity as an individual, why you have to be part of, like, a church group, basically.
Right.
Like, yeah, because we've gone to Habitat.
Right, we were
doing
Habitat.
We've gone with Bren's church, and we asked about coming back, and they basically told us that you can't just, like, come back. You have to come back with a group. And there was no other group, really, for us to come back with aside from the church, which I thought was crazy. And yeah. Habitat is also a religious organization. I was also like, why can't I build houses for a non-Christian organization? That was another question I had. Uh-huh. Like, there's nothing inherently Christian about the wanting poor people to have houses. Like,
no.
It's just like a human thing. Mm-hmm. But this is sort of like atheists, I think, because atheists are often, like, people who admit to being atheists are often educated and sort of like, all, like, in positions where they've sort of, like, been able to make the choice to leave religion or not have,
sure,
religion. It's sort of a generally more privileged group of people that admit to being atheists. Because of that, no one really talks about the fact that they're, like, socially, that they're, like, ostracized in certain ways that give them, like, very little,
yeah,
of a sort of, like, position of authority in,
yeah,
in sort of national affairs.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy. One member of Congress should be a fucking atheist.
I mean, I would agree. And as a Christian, I,
yes,
would agree.
Yeah. Well, of course you would. Do you know how genius atheists can be? Because you know me.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
This story has, okay, nothing to do with politics.
So it's Halloween this week.
Yes, it is. I'm actively avoiding it.
Yeah,
I was out of
town. I went to a Halloween party yesterday.
I didn't go into any costume parties. I'm not going to costume parties.
I'm
not
costumes.
Driving into West Hollywood. I am staying the night at a friend's house who lives in the marina.
Oh.
And I am leaving my dog at the kennel. And
interesting.
I'm not even, I just like, Halloween in West Hollywood, if you don't know, is like, it's worse than, it's sort of like worse than gay pride and worse than sort, yeah, of like the AIDS walk and things like that, because like, it's not just the gays. Like, that's like the Halloween in Los Angeles happens in West Hollywood. They shut,
yeah,
down the, it's a disaster. You can't get to your house. I live in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
I can't get home from work. Usually I take the bus. It's just,
I'm
going
to have to do what I did last year and park over by your house and basically walk back to my car,
yeah,
so that I can not have to drive through the parade.
It's just, it's the worst.
Yeah.
So I used to sort of like do Halloween like things, even though I never really loved Halloween, but like the more sort of like,
yeah,
curmudgeonly I get, the more I'm just like, I just don't even want to freaking
deal
be around
it.
Halloween. But anyway,
right,
there were a lot of Halloween parties this last weekend because it was the weekend. So you go to Halloween parties. Julianne Hough had a genius plan for her Halloween
genius
costume.
You might recall that Orange is the New Black has been all the rage.
Yes.
Brent just finished it.
Everybody always wants to be something topical.
Yes.
You know,
exactly,
something that's in the news, whatever. Yes, I just finished Orange is the New Black. So exciting. But anyway, Julianne Hough went in sort of, not really blackface, she sort of went in bronzer face.
Right.
As Crazy Eyes.
Right.
From Orange is the New Black. That is a costume that I can get on board with, short of the bronzer slash blackface.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
she was with a group that was all doing Orange is the New Black,
right,
characters. She had her hair in the sort of telltale three kind,
right,
of like little things. It
if
was
a
the
black person wants to go as Crazy Eyes,
right,
that is fine. Or if a white person wants to go as Crazy Eyes and
just
the
have,
hair knots.
Have something symbolic. Like,
and then wear a sign like she was wearing. She was wearing a name tag that said Crazy Eyes.
Yeah.
So she didn't need the, and she also wasn't even in blackface.
No,
she
was
just
in
sort
of
in like
the
some
silliest
weird, creepy
looking
face.
Blackface I've ever seen.
Weirdness.
It was bronzer face. She,
yes,
was just wearing too much bronzer. Like a lot of bronzer. Like purposeful amounts. Not,
right,
like she just over-bronzed.
So it was
herself.
Weird. It was almost like she thought maybe that she, like, she could get away with it because she like wasn't in blackface. But like it's like I said to you earlier today,
yeah,
it was the act of changing her skin color that got her in trouble. It wasn't,
yeah,
that, because like she wasn't,
well, and it was the,
technically
the
in blackface, but like she had sort of like, it was the intention.
Of, because blackface has this connotation.
Right.
And she was only doing it because she was trying to portray a character who was African-American.
Right.
So, like, it was obviously intended to be blackface, even if it was an incompetent attempt at blackface.
Correct.
So, it was just like,
yeah,
it didn't go over well. Here's,
yeah,
a quick guide to Halloween costumes. If your costume is going to require that you actively engage in a blackface-related situation, that's a time to say no.
Don't do it.
It's never appropriate to go to Halloween in blackface.
Nope.
If you are the purple Teletubby, then sure, go in purple face.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Right.
There's no historical precedent for purple face.
Yes.
Everyone will know what you're up to.
Yeah.
If you want to go as a member of Blue Man Group, also fine.
Sure.
Any other...
Some sort of alien...
If you are using
Gumby,
a color that is not a color of a race that people already have, mm-hmm. and you are not using it in a mocking way, then by all means, go for it.
Yeah.
It's never acceptable to go to Halloween in blackface.
The other thing that I know...
Every year someone gets in trouble for this.
Right. The other thing that I know now that I have watched Orange is the New Black is there is not a lack of white characters that she could have been going as.
Could have been going as any white
person
many. On the show.
There was a ton.
Tons. Yeah. It's mostly white people.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, you're going with a group. Fine. You want someone to be crazy eyes because she's, like, an important character on the show. I get it.
Just put your hair in some knots and
put
call it a day.
Put your hair in some knots. Call
That's
it a day. You're in the orange jumpsuit. Everything's good.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows what you're doing.
Yeah.
So don't.
Oh, God. Anyway. But Orange is the New Black.
Yeah. Life-changing.
Can we just talk about it?
Yeah,
really
let's
quick?
Talk about it.
We're late. I'm late to the game. We've talked about how I was actively not watching it for a while.
Yeah. I was needling Brent like nobody's business.
And that was,
I thought.
I was sort of not watching it because of that. Just because I sort of, you know, that's what I do. I'm a bull. I'm a Taurus. I'm an only child. I didn't want to watch it, so I wasn't going to fucking watch it. Anyway. I watched it.
It's life-changing.
It's one of the few times where something had been built up so much that I was, like, certain that it couldn't be as good. I was just like, you know when that happens, sort of like you wait too long to see a movie and it's like,
yeah,
it
and you're like,
supposed
well, that
to be
was
like
just
the greatest
a
movie. Movie, and I'm just like, oh, okay, well, that was fine.
Right.
Like, this really did everything that it was, everyone claimed it did. Facebook was right. It was one of the times that Facebook was right.
Yeah.
I loved pretty much every second of it.
Well, the hard
part
is...
There wasn't a time
is...
I didn't like it.
That the pilot is, I think, probably the worst episode.
Probably.
And so, and that's not uncommon with a TV show, but because you have to watch all of this
at
once.
I didn't dislike the pilot, but I did sort of voice some concerns to you.
Yeah.
And you were like,
after the pilot, you were like, And after the pilot, I was sort of like, eh. And then I watched the second episode and then just didn't stop watching it an episode until.
Correct. You know,
I binge watched it over a weekend. Brent had a little bit of self-control.
And I can see why she would want to be Crazy Eyes, too, because she really is sort of one
she's
of the.
A great
she's
character.
One of the better options.
Yeah, exactly. But. That's a show that has all the things.
It has all the things.
And halfway through, Brent sort of turns to me in the car one day and is like, would it maybe be really fun to go to women's jail?
Yes.
It sort of seems like camp on the show.
It did.
It seemed
so great.
Like, you get to gossip all day. There's nothing else to do.
No.
You have, like, problems, but the problems are sort of contained.
Yeah.
It's not, like, outside
There's
problems.
Crazy people. I love crazy people.
Right, sure. There's those.
Mm-hmm.
There's really practical people that are just down on their luck.
There's gayness. I can always get behind that.
Exactly. Yeah, it just sort of had everything.
Yeah.
Everything that you would need in a television series was just right there.
Yeah.
That show is living up to the hype.
Totally.
I'm very excited for the second season.
Yeah.
We release it right now.
But that, in final news, that was not the worst blackface that was put on this week. It's probably going to be the only one that was in the news because it was Julianne Hough and she's a quasi-celebrity.
Right.
But there was a worst offender for blackface this week because someone in Florida, a pair of people in Florida, went as George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. And the person who played Trayvon Martin went in blackface and had a bullet wound with blood coming out of their hoodie.
And his blackface was... black paint. It was blackface.
That was blackface.
It was blackface in the blackest sense of blackface.
Yes, it was.
It was not African American face.
No.
It wasn't
bronzer face.
Wasn't bronzer face.
No.
It was blackface.
Yeah, they did blackface.
It sort of like it was some photo that got printed. It was on like Facebook or something, and like it ended up getting picked up by the Smoking Gun.
Yes.
Just because it was so distasteful.
Uh huh.
But apparently. The hilarious thing was that the guy who was playing George Zimmerman is just some guy who's, like, a carpenter or whatever. The guy who played Trayvon Martin has, like, a rap sheet that's, like, real long and I think just got, like, arrested in June for a felony auto theft.
Uh-huh.
It's, like, an actual hoodlum.
Right.
So, in This Week in Irony, that's...
Yes.
That was it.
God.
That was it.
Blackface. Not a good idea, people.
Don't do it. This is a Halloween. This is a holiday where you can literally be an inanimate object.
That's what you said. Yeah. You don't even have to dress up as another person.
No, you don't have to dress up as a person. You don't have to dress up as a real thing. You can dress up as a metaphor. People love doing that nonsense.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Like you can.
How many people have been a Freudian slip?
Exactly.
I mean,
every person.
Everyone.
Every person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there is no limit to the number of non-real things you can be for Halloween. You don't need to fall back on blackface.
My roommate went as the Operation board game.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was just in a skin suit and then had
he loves
sort of like
to wear something really skin tight for Halloween.
And that's what the gays do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the but women I mean, do. Like, that's what all people are
once
doing.
Once you can be a board game, you sort of like the
options are endless.
Having to go as blackface sort of like goes away.
Yeah.
At that point.
You're not limited to a small list of all real people that you can be.
No.
You just sort of can skate on by the blackface options and really
just skip it.
Skip it, move on to something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, oh, boy. But we hope you all have a safe and happy Halloween, though.
Right.
One Even though I'm not going to be partaking of it. I hope
no
you
one
all enjoy it.
Ever has is a fully safe Halloween. Because I feel like Halloween is the holiday where the most alarming things happen to you.
Well,
when I was living in New York, every time that I would get on the subway on Halloween, I would be like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, why did I agree to leave
That's
my
true.
House? I am a person who loves going to the Halloween parade in New York. I grew up nearby. You know, I grew up near it, so it was always in the neighborhood. I would go with my parents. Like, mm-hmm. It's a lot like the West Hollywood parade here.
Yeah.
It's very crazy. But I sort of enjoy watching or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun to see what costumes people have. Every year that I leave my house on Halloween, though, have one experience where I'm like, why did I let this happen?
Yeah. See, and everybody is always surprised that I don't like Halloween because I love scary things.
Right, yes.
But it's really just sort of like the costume stress that really sort of like, I always leave everything to the last minute. I can never figure
it's
it out.
Costume stress.
You hate phoning it in because like we were talking earlier, like you went to a party this week where you just
Someone
had
just
a hockey jersey on. And I was like,
jersey,
I would rather like not be in costume than like just like put on some like throw on a jersey because then you're the asshole who just didn't try.
Exactly.
Like
I would rather have actively not tried because of an opposition to wearing a costume.
Exactly. Because then you sort of like have a point. You've got a stance.
Exactly. And I'm not silly enough, ultimately, to care enough about the... Like, I'm not a person who enjoys the act of dressing up in
a
costume. I just feel uncomfortable the whole night.
Agreed.
Like, and awkward.
Yes.
And I, like, it's a weird time to, like, see people that you don't know very well. Like,
yes.
You can only spend Halloween with close friends because anyone else just is acting weird.
It's not great.
It's not great. And
no.
Everyone's too drunk.
Nope.
Yeah, it's a nope.
So we'll talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you next week.
Who knows about what? We'll have Hillary Pillory again.
We'll have Hillary Pillory again.
With sound effects.
Sure, with sound effects.
With our official Hillary Pillory sound effects.
We'll have that. We'll probably have some thoughts on television.
Probably.
Oh, we were going to talk about Grey's Anatomy. We don't
need
to.
We can do that next week.
We'll do that next week.
Yeah.
I finally watched it, so.
Yeah.
Now I'm not caught up, but I'm...
She's back in the game.
Yeah, I'm back in the game.
You don't have to catch up.
I'm not planning to.
No.
I will not be catching up.
Okay, good.
But yeah, so we'll see you next week. Everyone will still be on vacation.
Oh, yeah.
So
they're not doing anything.
There will be fake news
again. We're doing anything anyway, but... So we'll talk to you then.
Okay. Bye.